This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Last week, Liz spoke to us about the first major theme in Exodus, which is obedience, and she introduced us to Moses. And this week, I've got the fun challenge of the second major theme, spiritual warfare and power encounters. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to look at a bit of an overview of Exodus 6 to 11. That's quite a lot. I'm not going to keep you here for the next week. I could, but I won't. It's been a long weekend already. And we're going to zoom in on a little section in Exodus 8, the 10 plagues. You might have heard of them. There's a specific word used, which I'll probably pronounce wrong. I did practice, and I decided I was getting so fumbly, I'd just stop practicing and accept that I'm not an expert. Nagah. Let's go with that, but Google it. Meaning to hit or to strike or to touch intensely. So we could describe them as touches, strikes, but intense experiences which highlight God's power coming. But that in doing that, when there's power, there's often a battle. We don't need power if there's nothing going on. We need power when it's something against something else. So there's a bit of a fight going on in our world between those who know God and those who don't know God. I'm not saying an actual fight between people, although that is happening in places, but this disconnect. You know, when you walk into a space and there's an opposing view or there's just two differences of opinions. And so that's what we're looking at in this context. So in case you haven't been reading through Exodus, I'm going to do a really quick recap. Really quick. So the Exodus story basically describes how Pharaoh doesn't acknowledge God at all. And in my little head, maybe this is just how God speaks to me, it's like God just stands there and goes, haha, challenge accepted. I'm going to take on Pharaoh. And I'm going to bring Pharaoh around to recognize that I am God. And because Pharaoh is powerful, to acknowledge to his people that I am God. There's a few key characters in this. One is Moses, who we heard about last week, who was chosen by God, commissioned by God, has a bit of a wobble, but who experiences his staff turning into a snake when he throws it on the ground. And then we get to these bits in Exodus, where Moses' brother Aaron also has a staff that he throws on the ground, and it turns into a snake. And in Exodus 6 to 11, we hear about these 10 plagues. Or if we're feeling really pedantic, which apparently I am this morning, one plague, if by plague we mean an illness or disease, and 9 other afflictions. Just throwing it out there. There's lots in there. When I was studying these bits, there is so much detail. There are patterns upon pattern upon pattern. Did anyone do English literature at school? Yeah, where you have to study a text and they're like, what's the meaning of this one word in this big novel? You're like, oh, and now I think about it. It takes a really long time to read if you're looking for all the meaning. But as I've read through these bits, there is so much detail. There are so many layers. There are so many things, if we just stop and slow down, that we go, do we think that refers back to that? And what if this links to here? And hang on a minute, it suddenly makes a lot more sense and has great richness to it. So I'm going to give you just a couple of bits and then I'm going to let you go away and read the rest and see what else you can spot as you just take a bit of time with it. If you want to know, if you get hooked on the spotting of the links, I'd really encourage the Bible Project to you. You can do an hour on this, you could do a whole classroom of studying this. There's all kinds of layers. I couldn't possibly share all of it in the time I've got, but I'd really encourage you to take time to look into it more deeply. So 10 power encounters, they're split into threes. The quick amongst you will spot that that's not possible. So we've got 3, 3, 3, and 1. have not stopped being able to count. So the first three is all based in and around the Nile. So that instantly got my attention because I like rivers. And we're introduced to Aaron here, and his staff becomes a snake. And we go, ooh, two staffs that become snakes. That's quite interesting. And we've got the first. Now, they're all, although I've been calling them power encounters, they're all named as plagues in my head from when I've learnt it. So I'm going to slip back into plague language. So the plague of blood, all the fish die. But interestingly, then they start digging trenches by the river. That water was fine. Just the water in the river was affected. I studied rivers at university. That messes with my head. But that's my problem, not yours. And then there's a 7-day gap. And then there's another plague, but this time of frogs. We're still kind of on the watery theme. And then we have a plague of gnats, which is the fun one I'm coming to. We're going to come back to that. Now, interestingly, the first one happened in the morning. The second one happened with Moses going to Pharaoh in his house. And the third one happened with no warning whatsoever. So then we move on to the second triad. The first one, the plague of flies, happens in the morning. The second one, the plague on livestock, happens when Moses meets Pharaoh in his house. The third one, the plague of boils, what do you think happens there? No warning. Excellent, we're cottoning on. Right, triad number three. First one, the plague of hail. When does that happen?
Morning.
Excellent, you're all listening. Second one, plague of locusts. Yes. The third one, plague of darkness. No warning. Now, that must have been a little bit scary. Of all the ones to have no warning, that strikes me as a little bit of a challenge. Emphatic. There's a pattern. And then the tenth one. That's the right number, isn't it? Tenth one. The death of the firstborn. People and animals. Linking back to Exodus 1, where Pharaoh killed the firstborn in the land. So that's the 10. And today we're only going to look at the first three. And in particular, we're going to look at number three, the last one, the plague of the gnats. It's based in the River Nile, which is significant because the river was the lifeblood of where all livelihood came from. We find our settlements by rivers because water brings life. That would have been where Pharaoh's trade went along. It was culturally significant. It was geographically important. And so that's where we start. And we start with the knowledge that both Moses and Aaron have had their staffs. God told them to hold out their staffs, drop it to the ground. It turned into a snake, and then he told them to pick it up. I'd be going, really? Is this wise? To pick it up, and it turns back into a staff. So they know, and I think what I'm accepting of is that there is authority over the snake. The snake that symbolized evil, the snake that was the disruptive force, the snake which is not something to mess with. And it's like God says, you have authority over evil, and now you go and talk to Moses. So off Moses goes, off to warn Pharaoh in the morning. Pharaoh doesn't listen, and we get the plague of blood. And then there's 7 days. We could go into 7 days. There's lots of sevens in the Bible. We could talk about creation. We could talk about God's perfect timing. We could talk about lots of things. You can think about that, discuss it in small group. You could have a very theologically enriched discussion, William, in your group this week, no pressure. And it's like there's time. God's generous with his time, and he says there is time, Pharaoh, to listen and repent. Pharaoh doesn't listen. That's why we got this long list. So God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh again. And then come the frogs. Again, Pharaoh's still not listening. So then we get to the plague of the gnats. Has anyone ever heard a sermon on the plague of the gnats before? I didn't think I had. That's why I thought it was quite fun. Exodus 8, 16 to 19, if you want to find it. I'm going to read it out. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats. They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came on people and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. Since the gnats were on people and animals everywhere, the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. If you want a little clue on something to go and explore the dust and the meaning of the dust and where the gnats come from. Just a little snippet for you. So when we read the word magicians, if you've not read this or thought about this before, so the magicians would have been Pharaoh's advisors, experts. They're not got pointy hats and things. They found the way to match the power of the first two plagues. So when we had the blood, they could produce blood. When we had the frogs, they could produce frogs. But they made more chaos when they did those things. They just made more of a mess. They didn't have the power to reverse it. They just made more mess. But when we come to the gnats, apparently they couldn't make gnats. They couldn't do anything with the gnats. And what I love here is that they recognized this. They recognized that what was going on here, what was God, was bigger than they were. They couldn't match this. And then they say this, "This is the finger of God. This is the touch of God." They're saying, "Pharaoh, this is God. You can't compete with this." And Pharaoh's like, "Nah, still not interested." And we don't know how they created the other things. We don't know what trickery or illusions or whatever was going on there. There's all sorts of study into that. Part of the culture at the time would have involved worshipping gods of the underworld. That's not for today. But when they did this, it was destructive. Their signs were destructive. And they made things worse. I think it's important to be careful when we think about signs and wonders. And understand, acknowledge where the power comes from. They could clearly do these things. And so I guess as people of faith, we need to just really think, does what we're seeing match up with what we know of the Bible? Does what we're seeing draw us closer to Jesus or push us away? Where is this power coming from? Who are these people doing this? And just weigh things up. So that's my encouragement to you, just to weigh up what you see happening. Ask God. God loves questions. What is this? Is this you? And pray and seek wisdom and counsel from those around you. Now this weekend, as we've talked about, lots of us have been at Equip and Ignite, and part of that was just wanting to see this inbreaking of the kingdom, wanting to partner with Holy Spirit in signs and wonders which reveal this finger of God, reveal the impact of God in our world, seeking out the places where God might be leading us to be involved in things which basically will make those around go, "That must be the finger of God." They might not use that language, but those experiences praying for people and going, "That must be God, because it can't be me, because I'm not a healer. It's God working through me that brings that change." And our cry for the weekend has been that people would acknowledge and see and call on the name and the authority of God. And when I've been looking at these passages in Exodus, I've been really reflecting on what the journey that Moses and Aaron went on. I'm reminded that they were chosen by God, but we are chosen by God. They were commissioned by God, and we are commissioned by God. They are given authority by God. And we can choose to operate in God's authority. God told them to throw their staff on the ground and turned it into a snake, and they're picking it back up. I don't think anyone has a staff here, and I'm certainly not expecting to have a load of snakes on the ground. But I think there is something about that recognition of stepping into God's authority, seeing something happen in front of us, that gives us that ability to go on and operate in doing this stuff. I take real comfort from the fact that they needed to see it happen. They could see that first-hand experience of something before they stepped into all these plagues and talking to Pharaoh. but that God was with them every step of the way. They weren't on their own. God repeatedly reveals himself to them and through them. And again, just because it got my attention, I imagine them a bit like this. And I wonder if that's where Superman came from. You know, the whole handout. Now you're forever going to, next time you see Superman, be thinking of Moses. It's all part of the plan. So today, I want you to invite you to join in, really. I was reminded of the words from Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. We can ask to operate in these things, to see God's power come. Seek and you will find. When we look for the finger of God, we see the finger of God. We acknowledge God at work in our midst. Knock and the door will be open to you. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus and you're wondering what on earth I'm talking about. Maybe you've never experienced or seen a move of God, the power of God at work, but you'd like to. Or maybe as I've been talking, you've realised that perhaps you're more like Pharaoh at the moment. You've recognised that your heart has been hardened to what God is doing, but that actually you would like that to change. And today's a great day to do that. But I believe that there is an invitation here for anyone who would like it this morning to, like Moses and Aaron, to stand up, almost to lay out your stuff and ask God to use you. So I think that's what we're going to do. So why don't you stand? And if that's you today, the invitation is to just lay out your stuff. Hold your hands out, perhaps. And to ask God to come with power. And to use the things he's given you to make a change in this world. So we pray, come God. Use the things you've given us in our hands. Help us to know that you've given us all the tools that we need to operate in your authority. That you've given us authority over the evil in our world. Going to read this from Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. So stand firm, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. All around the room, there are people just being prepared prepared for conversations, prepared for situations that we'll walk into. People being strengthened, people being energized, people being reminded that God sees them, that God knows them, that God loves them. I think in some of you there's a battle cry rising up, whether it's a call to prayer or a call to worship. There's an expectancy that God is doing something in our midst. We don't have to settle for life as it is. We can fight and we can pray and we can call out for something different, for something better, for the power of the kingdom to break in, to change lives, to change the direction we think we're stuck in, and to give us hope for a future, for a good future. I think for some of you, you know that, but God just wants you to bring it to him, to cry out for it, to cry out for breakthrough and change. If you're engaged with the Lord now, I'd like you just to stay where you are. If you're not, we look around the room in a minute and see. Just go pray for people. See what the Lord's doing. If you're watching online, there's a real sense of stillness in this room, despite lots of people. If God's engaging with you where you are, just please do take a moment just to sit and to wait in his presence. And if you get the chance, it'd be great if you're on your own to make sure you check in with your small group or your church, or to get in touch with us at the office. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to hear what God is doing in your midst, wherever you are. But for now, we're going to say goodbye to those of you who are watching online. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you again soon.